Blog Talk Radio.
What do you think, love?
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my greatest fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
We will
We welcome you tonight to another absolutely amazing night, celebrating God and who He is, celebrating Jesus and who He is, celebrating the Holy Spirit and who He is. Oh my goodness, just be done already. Welcome aboard the good ship Zion. It's going to be an awesome day here today. Blog Talk Radio is up and running. Facebook Live is up and running. You and I are up and running.
You and I are up and running.
Just like that. Just like that, this thing's going crazy.
Now I see ya. Hello, everyone. Where's... I did see you for a second there. Hello, everyone. It's good to be here with you.
The shares are done. The coffee's hot. Roger Oxy's watching. Welcome aboard, Roger Oxy. Good to have you with us tonight. Dan Cottle is watching. Good to have you with us tonight, brother. Another,
Hi, Dan.
Another beautiful day in the neighborhood where the deer and the antelope play. And seldom is heard a discouraging word because the neighbors don't live close enough to talk to. Yeah, goodness sakes alive. I often wondered why they made that statement. You don't hear a discouraging word if your neighbors live 10 miles away.
That is true.
And back in the day when that was written, it might have been a little farther than 10 miles. Oh, that works really good. So what's happening in you guys' world today? Brother Dan and Brother Roger? We always ask what everybody had for supper. We always ask, don't you just love Jesus? Aren't you glad he set you free from the bondages of religion and confusion?
Amen.
When you know the truth sets you free.
Amen.
It doesn't bind you down. It doesn't bind you down. Aren't you just glad?
I am just glad.
Wow. Wow. My. You know, don't you just love studying the Bible? I do. God's blessing to you, Roger Oxy, for the good word. Had sauerkraut, kielbasa, and pancakes. Roger Oxy is quickly moving up the line amongst those who's having very delicious suppers.
Roger, are you married to a Polish woman and you just haven't told us yet?
Roger says, that sounds absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it does. I love potato pancakes. Yum. Potato pancakes and pierogies are my favorite.
Pierogi. You keep using... What is a pierogi?
They're like miniature little noodle. They're like stuffed noodles, and they stuff them with cheese and potato, cheese and mashed potatoes, or sometimes sour cream.
How do you stuff a noodle, love?
Well, they look like, when you're making them, you make like noodles, but you cut them out, and they're like miniature pie shells, kind of.
Pocket pizzas?
No, it's a noodle, but they look like miniature pie shells, and you put your stuff in them, and then you fold them in half like a pocket pizza. But
it doesn't sound like a noodle. That sounds like a pocket pizza, if you ask me.
It's a noodle. It's made out of noodle material.
But so are pocket pizzas noodle material.
No, they
aren't. Oh. Wait, just so everybody knows, I am not a cook, all right? So I have many wonderful recipes, but I am not a cook.
Well, you do make noodles with the same stuff as the pie stuff, but it's a different texture. It's a different amount of each constituent.
So it's really a noodle. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
It's a stuffed noodle sort of ish.
Sort of ish.
Yes.
Is that kind of like a swordfish-ish?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of ish?
They're really good. And then you fry them in butter.
I like that.
Hi, Rebecca. Good evening to you, too. Pasta can be shaped like a pillowcase, Sam. Yes, it can, and a pillowcase is a good description, yes. Like stuffed noodle pillowcases.
Love you. Love you, Rebecca. I wasn't attacking her. I was just asking her questions because she didn't seem like she was real confident in what she was saying. I was being sure.
Well, I never thought about how hard it is to describe a pierogi before. Like tortellini, yes.
But see, everything to me is a pocket pizza. What's a tortellini? What in the world is a
tortellini?
That sounds like somebody that we were fighting in World War II.
Tortellini is a noodle thing, too.
Isn't that like someplace over like by Rome or something? Tortellini? Which is an island in the Pacific.
Probably is.
Love you, Rebecca. Thank you for always being such a wonderful, loving, caring member of the community of faith.
We do love you.
And that's not being facetious either, okay? But I ain't never ate a pillowcase for supper, so, you know, I'm not quite sure what that's all about.
You're funny.
A pillowcase is like one really big, serious pocket pizza right there. It's a square-shaped stuffed pasta with meat or cheese inside. Glory. Hallelujah. Pocket pizza.
Pocket pizza.
I think I have pizza on my mind tonight. Is that what the problem is?
Well, you know, we were going to make pizzas when we came.
Oh, that's what it was.
But then we stopped and got other stuff.
Yeah, and we just got in the car and fell asleep. And then we didn't do that.
Maybe tomorrow.
So anyways, welcome everybody. And welcome to the Leanne and Rebecca cooking show.
So what are we going to make next, Rebecca? I'll come up with something and you describe it.
What I like is we have a very broad spectrum of food that we eat here in this gathering of believers.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Roger, I will have to buy a new coffee pot. Uh-oh. No, I'm not married. But the restaurant close by cooks Polish dinner, okay? They also have cheese. Oh, that's our second favorite food.
That's good.
Pizza with double cheese.
That's really good.
If you can picture the homemade pie crust, only on a smaller scale, put in the filling, potato fold in half, and fry them. There you go. Just like my
dessert. See, none of that says noodles. When you say noodle, I see this noodle like noodle.
That's not a noodle. That's a macaroni that you're describing there. Fold in half and fry them. Top with real butter or sour cream. Yeah, and you can fry them in onions and butter too. That's
right. Woo! I like frying them in onions and butter. That's awesome. Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, that's a very good description, Roger. Thank you. He may have bought your description, even though he didn't. That's fine.
Go to Walmart and buy a bag of tortellini and a bottle of pasta sauce and cook it up and make Pastor eat it. She doesn't usually have to make me eat anything, Rebecca. I usually do it all of my own free will. And just so everybody knows, whether you call it a noodle, a pocket pizza, or a square pie crust, I don't really matter. I'll eat it. Brother Dan Cottle, what'd you have for supper, brother?
Part of our family thread. Yeah,
sure.
She needs to share recipes on her thread and her cooking wisdom.
She hath much great cooking wisdom.
Yes, she does.
Almost worthy of Kenneth James language. So anyways, welcome Rebecca. We love you.
So, Roger, is there a Polish woman at the diner next door that you'd like to marry?
Jasna Parvin. Welcome. Roger Oxy, Dan Cottle, Rebecca Smith, and Jasna Parvin.
Welcome, Jasna. Well, welcome all of you. But Jasna is a newcomer, and we welcome you. Roger, I'm making a funny. If wife's not happy, no one is happy.
Thou art a wise man, Roger Oxley. Thou art a wise man. All right. Brother Dan had a Baconator and a DQ shake.
Yum.
Woo! Sister Gwen just fell off her chair at home saying, no, hon, broccoli. You're supposed to eat broccoli.
In a protein shake.
Well, you got to give that broccoli something to sweep out once you eat it. Broccoli is just brooms. Broccoli are the brooms of the veins. The broccoli sweeps out the veins. Did you know that? That's why you can tell who eats broccoli and who doesn't. Because they have to have their veins swept out.
Oh.
Yeah. I wanted something funny to watch, and I think I found it. Tonight's going to be deep revelation tonight. Thank God for deep revelation.
Yeah. Has anyone had a chance to look at, or have any of you gone in and looked at the God of Wonders on YouTube that... pastor's mom mentioned the other night. We watched it well until we fell asleep one night, but wow, it really is an amazing video.
Yep.
To watch. You should go watch it.
And that's on YouTube. And the next one that comes up after that is called 40 days, and that's about Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness. And what's interesting about that is that wilderness that they filmed, like Jesus was in the wilderness, looks just like North Dakota.
I didn't see any of that. Maybe this Saturday, if that's when we work out right. Another $8 is a good word.
Roger, I have to let you know, brother, 8 hours is a long time to sit in this chair. It's called 40 nights.
Yeah, we had worked 9 hours before the program.
Yeah. Yep. 40 nights and the God of Wonder. Is that right? Actually, God of Wonders.
Is it? Yep.
The God of Wonders movie, if you like beautiful scenery and animals and birds.
Yeah, and Rebecca does.
It is just an absolutely wonderful program. It really is.
It really is.
I know God is willing. Brother Roger, for 8-hour service. But the challenge we face is not about God. The challenge we face is about our brothers and sisters who more than likely would fall out of their chairs long before 8 hours had happened. Brother James Denny Jr., welcome, sir.
Welcome.
Good to have you with us tonight, man. Good to have you with us tonight. And your whole flock. Not sure whether you still got sheep or birds, but we'll call each of them a flock. Well, you're the same age as I am, so more than likely your kids are grown and you probably have grandkids by now. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm making a funny on the chair. Couple of pillows for 12 inches. Brother Osteen used to say, human nature only is dure as long as the butt. Right. The mind is only as open as long as the butt can endure.
Oh, that is true.
They said Charles Capps could preach for 3 or 4 hours with no trouble. And Norval Hayes was another one that could preach for 3 or 4 hours. And one time Norval Hayes was starting to preach. Brother Osteen was sitting next to Dr. Summerall. And he leaned over and said, Lester, I did bring a lunchbox, and I'll be glad to share it with you if supper time comes. Well, what's interesting is that people sit around and sit and listen to it. And you don't ever, I don't think you would ever just set out to say, we're going to have an 8-hour service. Now, I don't know. I guess if God told you to, that would be one thing. But what truly makes the difference of any time we come together to teach the word is how much people are drawing on the Holy Spirit for understanding.
Yeah.
If people are drawn, you can preach for hours. And I think well, all right. Then you can have 4 hours. But I know many times with Dr. Barkley, he begins to share and share and share and share. And man, there's just sometimes you're like, no, don't stop. Don't stop now. Keep going. And that one service he talks about, he shared and they're like, no, keep going. So he preached another message. And they're like, no, that's not enough. Keep going. And then the Holy Spirit fell. And he just sat down on the side of the thing and the service went on for another 45 minutes. Him and the pastor leave. They go in the back room, a meal.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, wonder where everybody is. So they go back out and they're just still in the sanctuary having church. And they're like, well, come out and teach some more. But see, what it always is dependent upon is how much people are receiving the word.
Yeah.
It's not about how much I know. It's not about how much is in this book. Can you imagine if we sat down and preached this whole book in one setting? You would grow a beard and have to trim your whiskers and cut your hair. And, before you ever got done preaching this book because there's so much in it. But it's all dependent on how much you and I are seeking from the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about.
That's what it's about.
And it is now 7:30, and it's time for us to get started. Brother Dan, where are you hailing from tonight, brother? Brother James, did you get back home? Ken Brumbaugh's with us.
Hi, Ken.
Brother Ken, we love you. I'm not sure whether I'm at liberty to pray for you publicly or not, brother, about that situation. So I haven't said anything, but if you don't mind, then we'll pray for it publicly. Father, right now, we do speak over Lori Cottle,
yes,
Ben Jackson, and Dennis Johnson,
yes.
Susan Siegfried,
yes.
Healing and strength in their bodies, Lord. We speak right now over Darren and Joy Wurzel family and Francetta's friend Sherry and her son Ben. We declare, as we have said so far, every time we come here, that you have life and life more abundantly surging through your veins. Sally Rice and all of her family.
Yeah.
Everyone that that came away with that COVID. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We speak right now over these who've lost a loved one. Sunday and Chris Geiser, Francetta, Vic and Kathy Davis and the Chris Davis family, Bob Holbrook, and we declare right now, Mary Pastor Rick and their church family, as their pastors, two of them have gone to heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor and praise, Lord, that you are doing a mighty work in these people's lives. Everybody say it with me. Life and life more abundantly. Right here, right now, today, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are doing a work that no man can do. No man can do. And we give you glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. You want to do it? Point at your hospital and say, every virus, every pneumonia, every flu bug be healed and from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Voted yesterday in Michigan. And now I'm in Georgia. Unload in the morning. Have you ever met anyone who traverses the United States of America as much as our brother Dan? That is absolutely amazing. Bless you, Dan. Love you. Be safe there. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. Cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead. I'm all set. I got my hair cut super short.
Super fit to next year. Good job.
Well, whether any of the rest of you is ready for the next 8-hour session, Brother Roger is.
Yeah.
So all y'all get in line, get your hair cut, and get your teeth scrubbed and your nails did, and put some extra makeup on, ladies. Let's have a good time in God tonight in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, take one more look and shout glory.
Glory.
I said take a look and shout glory.
Mm-hmm. I know I was trying to think of more names we were speaking healing over so I could listen.
Amen. Kathy Angaroni.
Cancer.
Joey and Derek and
Derek.
All that group in the mighty name Lord of Jesus.
Ben, Sunday, Al, Sherry, Mary, Julian.
Very good. You did good. You did very well. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, it is time for us to get started.
Are you ready to sing? Can I precise tuned up?
So Ripples just showed up. So now we can finally, he looks right at me.
Yeah. Second you said it.
Now we can finally start the program.
Miss Jenner got the cat in order, and here I am, ready for some preaching.
You going to sing with us? Are you going to sing with us? Okay. There we go. Wow. Rise together with me. We'll make our Pledge of Allegiance. Render your honor. Let's make the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who are still serving today, those who on this day will honor their loved one, and they'll stand somewhere in remembrance of their life lived and their service rendered. This moment of silence is in honor of every wounded veteran and their family who so valiantly live each day, having been wounded in the line of battle. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And now we will make the Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands.
One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen,
amen
and amen. And now, let's pray for the United States of America, and let's pray for tonight's program. In the mighty name of Jesus, we come together and pray this prayer. Everybody join with us as we pray. Father, we pray this prayer today as children of Almighty God, as the body of Christ, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, We, the community of faith, declare, thank you that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today.
In Jesus'
name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. We say it again tonight. May God bless America. Everybody say it with me. God bless America.
Amen.
Forgive us of our sin, Lord. Forgive us of our sin and heal our land. We truly do seek your face. Lord, we know not everybody in America is seeking your face, but we know men and women of God are seeking your face everywhere. And tonight they're praying and they're having their Christmas cantatas and their Christmas programs and their Christmas parties, and they're celebrating your birth, Jesus, all across this nation. And may our hearts not only be warmed with the joy of Christmas, but may we have a greater desire to know the one who came as a baby.
Amen.
Left his kingly throne so that he could come and live with us in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. You want to say it with me? I bless the believers in the United States of America.
We bless the believers in the United States of America.
We do.
We do.
We do.
And all over the earth.
And all over the earth. Not only may peace reign on the earth, but goodwill to men reign on the earth. We know, Father, that wicked men will grow more wicked. The Apostle Paul said, pray for us, that we would be delivered from foolish and ignorant men, because not all men have faith. So we know those people will always be here. But tonight, and every time we pray, we speak our faith over this great United States of America. We just declare it right now tonight. May God bless America. May God bless America. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, of which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, every political event that's happening right now across this nation, may they be strong in their resolve.
Yes.
May they be focused in their purpose. May they be righteous in every part of it. May they be precise and accurate and excellent and effective.
Yes.
So that everyone who sees what they're doing says, we want to be a part of that. And that all across the nation, we the people, as we stand up together, we will stand united, and nothing will be able to stop the work of God that's going on.
Amen.
Father, may there be churches that right now during this holiday season decide to open back up now. May people decide to come back out now. May they see through this face, this fake, this facade that they're spinning at us, telling us it's just everywhere and people are dropping over by flies, like flies. Well, we know that if that were the case, there'd be nobody left.
Right.
And that's not the case. And therefore, they lied to us. And may people just look at them and say, no, you lied once. We're not going to ever believe you again. And we're going to just walk in the paths of righteousness. And Jesus never wore a mask. Never once did he wear a mask. He just said, well, come here and be made whole.
Amen.
And we declare that pastors and believers and fellow workers of the Lord all across America will say, just come here and be made whole.
Amen.
And they will be made whole.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that your power lives within us. May every person within the sound of my voice tonight have an impartation and a revelation of the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives right here, right now, tonight, in this session.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Father, thank you that you gave us our focus verses. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, not religion, not churchianity, not gospelisms, but our faith, which is in you. And because we believe that you exist and that you reward those who diligently seek you. Thank you, Father. On this session tonight, we're going to help people come to the understanding that they have an eternal destiny and it's important for them to get to. We're going to help them walk in the paths of righteousness, producing joy because they're one with you, Father. We're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and you too, which will automatically bring the greatest breakthrough any of us have ever seen in our lives and demonstrate all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. We'll all move from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and from grace to grace. Thank you, Father, that in this session tonight, every one of us will find our place and function in our grace. And as we do every night, we pray now for our peacemakers, wherever they may be around the world. The Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, our Secret Service, the FBI, all of our special forces, all of our police and fire and rescue here in the United States of America. Bless them with courage. May the first weapon they ever pull be the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And the angels of Almighty God, the innumerable host of heavenly angels, surround them and protect them and keep them safe in all of their ways. We pray this now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody, pray the Patriot Prayer of Dedication with me tonight. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Whoops.
Long will our land,
long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
And amen.
Amen. And amen. Don't you love God?
I do love.
Don't you love what he does for us every day? I'm telling you right now.
Yes.
The only thing that has more power than your desire and mine of the things of God is our own will. We can put ourselves in a place where God can't do anything for us. I have a word. I have a word for you. Do not do that. Mm-hmm. Do not do that. Why? Because God wants to do amazing, marvelous, wonderful, powerful things for us in our life. And it's of absolute importance that we let him. And let's probably not the right word, as much as receive and ask him to get involved and help us.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, welcome everybody. Let's jump in. Carolyn Foster is with us. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome tonight. We bless you. We bless your family. May you have Christmas all over your house and out in the woods.
Amen.
We receive all you have for us tonight, Lord. Tonight's subject is glad. I bring you glad tidings of great joy.
I love that.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Now, you know, that's about them. The shep.
Amen, Roger.
Amen. That's about the shepherds in the field when the angels showed up. But it's about so much more than the shepherds in the field. And we're going to dive into that and study that out tonight. And so we welcome you to be a part of it. And whether or not you've ever made a post on here and said hi or hello, you're very much welcome to join in and be a part of the fun and the study, the great study of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, at the beginning of the month, I just decided, well, I don't know if I decided or was instructed, I'm just going to preach the Christmas story all month. That's pretty big. That's like 25 sermons if you haven't figured that out yet. But I don't come here determined to preach to or at you a sermon. We come here every night saying, Holy Spirit, lead us as we study your word and as we grow and develop together in Jesus' mighty name. Naturally, the fivefold ministry gift is on my life, and I function as a teacher and apostle. Never thought I was much of an evangelist, but I am. And even in the gift of a prophet, you can begin to see that beginning to happen. So why are you saying that, Pastor? Well, the fivefold ministry gift is here and working right now while you're here. This is much more than just a little Bible study where we all give our opinion of who God is. This is, let's study the Word of God and get set free. Amen. Let's study the Word of God and find answers, not only for our life, but everyone around us. This whole COVID and it's just a mandemic, plandemic, scamdemic, all the rest of those words. They're a bunch of lying thieves. They're population manipulators. And they're destructive people. You and I have, you and, what are you going to do? You know, drive to China and find the lab and take it out? No. You and I got to learn on this end how to help people fight it and win so that it doesn't have any power over them in their lives.
Amen.
And you know what that means? That means we got to learn how to use this power of God. And every time on any social media that we see anyone who is in a battle with COVID, that we immediately go to war in that situation. We send in a prayer. We send in the systems and aids that they need to overcome it. And then we watch God do a miracle in their life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Francetta's son, Ben. Everybody who was in that intensive care unit, when he went in with COVID, all of them died except him.
And they were vaccinated.
And all of them were vaccinated.
Except him.
We learn the walk of faith. Amen. Brother Dan Collin. Dan must not be driving because he was able to put in a response that actually had six words in it. So tonight we're all fired up because Brother Dan's going to be able to type it like crazy tonight. Love you, Dan. And we always appreciate your input, sir.
Yeah, he said he unloaded tonight and he doesn't load it to reload until tomorrow.
Oh, I thought he was saying that he was loaded and he doesn't unload till tomorrow. You know what my wife just said? Well, neither of us are making a point over something that doesn't really matter. He's stationary, like we both said.
Well, I hadn't thought of it in those terms, but I guess I did.
Guess what? If you can't laugh at yourself, then laugh at us. Amen. Hallelujah. That's just a really good lesson in don't major on the minors and don't minor on the majors. Amen. Did I say that right?
Yes.
I think I did. Yes. I think I did. Well, Brother James Denny, you didn't let us know if you were home or if you're still out there sitting at a dairy somewhere. We love you. Brother Dave Godby, we love you. Misty Nash. Brother Leon and Brother Rudy. There we go. Jamie Bremer. Not Jamie Bremer. Jamie, my other friend and brother. And Johnny Aldridge, bless you. And old man, I bless you too, brother. These are all my truck driving brothers out here in North Dakota. You know how we get to, wouldn't you just like to have that name, the old man?
Not necessarily.
He was 75 years old and he could haul water better than anybody out there. That was one hardened down dude right there now. So that's what we're doing. We welcome you to be back with us each night. Tonight's Thursday. Saturday night is a question and answer night. I'm not sure what I've come up with a new name for it yet. We talked about a new name last week.
Yeah.
But we didn't really come up with a good one, did we?
Phyllis recommended Fellowship Night. Good News and Power and Healing, Roger wants to call it. Good News, Power and Healing.
All right.
So those were a couple of the suggestions. If anybody else has any suggestions?
Well, I think my point is all of that is a very great definition of it. But I like a catchy title. Saturday Night Live is a good title, except it's run by pagans who hate our God. And I don't want nothing to do with them.
Well, I think we should just bring a new position to that name.
Oh, so like they did with our rainbow, we can do with their SNL?
Yes, yes. Take what the devil meant for bad and turn it to good.
And for all you out there that don't know what that look means, that means pay attention. That means wake up and pay attention.
We must walk the walk and talk the talk. Amen,
Ryan. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. So hopefully you're having a good time together with you and your family. I speak to you very specifically. Let me wait a second. Let's get YouTube live to say this. Welcome to you, YouTube. We received you here tonight. We thank God for you.
Man, God is so good that he would take that moment and set her free. He was her deliverer from self-hatred.
Does anybody know where these people are talking at and why they decided to start talking right in the middle of our program?
We feel like there's actually a grace today for deliverance to happen during our service, during worship, during the speaking. There's a grace for deliverance to happen. It doesn't matter that you're...
I'm not quite sure why you decided to start talking on my program, but don't do that anymore. Anyways, welcome Blog Talk Radio. Those of you on YouTube, we welcome you. Tonight, we're going to be talking about glad tidings of great joy. Wait, I bring you good tidings of great... Wow. I'll get my title right. I bring you glad tidings of great joy. There we go. There we go. And we welcome you. I want to say this to everybody. I saw Sister Donna Howie Schubeck post this today on her Facebook page. This year, she had a grandson that crossed over to the other side at an early age. And she made a post that says, never miss an opportunity to tell your loved ones that you love them. And this life is too short to hold on to petty differences. This life is can end too quickly to hold on to indifferences and confusions and frustrations. Forgive quickly and instantly. Love like Jesus loved. And that means love everyone around you closely and bring a whip to deal with the religious nuts. No. Jesus braided a whip one night for him, but that was the religious leaders. Forgive instantly. You and I need to make a point this year that we, whether anybody else in our family tries to or not, that we do our best to make sure there's no offense that is being carried in any sense of the word. And say it this way, on our end, our lives are free from offense. Our lives are free from any form of a bondage of our enemy that would try to hold us down and limit us to the things of the past. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's a pre-Bible study challenge. Life is short. Forgive instantly. And you and I, be the bigger person. And just forgive, because we can. There's no power that is binding us to unforgiveness except our own will. That's all it is. That's all it is. And you want to say it with me? I choose to not be offended. And I encourage you, like Jesus was everywhere he went, be the peacemaker. You know why? Because Jesus said, blessed are the peacemaker. What that means? Someone who is busy making peace. That peace will not just happen between two opposing sides. There has to be a peacemaker who makes peace, even in the midst of strife. And that's you and me. We are the peacemakers and we're going to be the peacemakers. Now, this has been a very fun month so far, in my opinion. We have been all over the charts. We've been in and out of many different subjects already since the first of the month. And we're on day number 9 of 25 days of teaching about Jesus coming to this earth in one way or another, telling the Christmas story. Now, there's people who will tell you that Christmas is not about Jesus' birth, but it is about when you truly look up the word Christmas and you get the definition of it. People have many different definitions. Think about this. A Christmas feast among Christians commemorates the birth of Christ and is usually observed by a national holiday. That's just the definition of it. Christ Mass, Jesus coming to this earth. See where we're going tonight. We're going to glad tidings of great joy. And that glad tidings of great joy comes because we're right with God and we're right with one another. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, I want you to go with me to the book of Luke. And then we're going to answer Roger's question in the middle. Right in the middle of dealing with glad tidings of great joy. If you are not celebrating the birth of Jesus this year at Christmas, excuse me if I'm just a little blunt to you. Hurry up and start celebrating. I've heard people say, well, except this isn't when Jesus was actually born. I know, I read it last night. And my studies I did last year, I'm in agreement that that's when Jesus was born, was in the middle of September. You know, the exact date, September 11th, I don't know. There's a lot of interesting things that's happened on September 11th down through the history of the world. And so now the whole world is celebrating Jesus' birth. Well, we might as well celebrate with him.
Amen.
It's not pagan to celebrate Jesus' birth. Is it?
No, it is not.
But Pastor was supposed to do that when he was born. All right. Next year, in the middle of September, we'll celebrate Jesus' birth.
Amen.
And I want you to go get a Christmas tree. All right, the Christmas tree was just a joke. Nobody be offended by that. Luke chapter 2. And tonight, we're going to read from verses 1 to 20 in Luke chapter 2. And then we're going to study the time, different times that God prophesied glad tidings, good tidings, glad tidings of great joy, good tidings of glad joy. We'll get this phrase figured out before the night's up. In this, We're also going to answer Roger's question. If you forgive, is forget the same thing? Or are they different? And they most definitely are different. They're two different processes. And we'll deal with that right here.
Good question, Roger.
It's a good question.
A great question that a lot of people...
Because can you imagine Jesus, how much he had been offended down through the ages by people who once served him and no longer did? You remember how angry God was at Israel when they were trying to go into Canaan land? God was so angry that he told Moses, get out of my way. I'm going to kill them all. Strong drink I'm drinking tonight. And Moses said, I wouldn't do that if I was you, God. That's not a good choice. But this is the perfect example. Did God forgive his people?
He did.
Did he call them back to him? Did they go against him again?
They did.
Yes. Did he forgive them and bring them back? Did they go whoring after other gods?
They did.
Did he forgive them?
They did.
And did he forgive? He threw them in the sea of his forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. That's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. He says, and your sins I will not remember against you anymore. Here's the VOI people again.
I just reported them. This is a different one. This is the FDOF, FYI.
So, you are not the voice of America if you're VOI, because you're supposed to be VOA.
Yeah.
And even though you might send the word around the world, you work for the Biden administration, and at this point, I can't receive you into my fellowship because of the wickedness. So, Joy Hyper, if you want to be with us, I would need you to contact me at my email address, hgpreacherman@gmail.com, and share with me your intentions of being here. Otherwise, you are going to be hidden and unable to hear the program. Because I don't trust you. Well, here we go. That's for you, right? Luke chapter 2. So, to answer Roger's question immediately, God forgave Israel and brought him back. And they did him wrong and he forgave him again. And they did him wrong and he forgave him again. And they did him wrong and he forgave him again. And they did him wrong and he forgave him again. And when God says your sins and iniquities, I will remember no more, that means you and I have the ability to make a decision and allow someone to be close. I don't know that you can ever forget what they've been done. What someone's done to you, maybe you can. Actually, I guess you probably can. Because God did it. And we are made in his image and after his likeness. And so we're going to deal with this question of forgive and forget. But you can't ever work with somebody beyond their maturity level. If they're going to continue to always be offended at you, you're not going to be able to work with them. Because until they grow up and mature, they're going to continually be offended.
Hi, Francetta.
Hi, Francetta Goss. Welcome to the community of faith. We're glad you're here. We're in Luke chapter 2. We thoroughly expect you to hurry up and get connected. God bless you and your family tonight in Jesus' name. Here we go, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Matter of fact, let's make our confession. I was dealing with all that other stuff, and I would just as soon make my confession. There it is. Ready? This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says.
I
am what Jesus says
I am.
Because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God is making this word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
amen.
Name.
Hi, amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen.
We're so happy you're here too.
Sunday and Francetta and Rebecca and Brother Roger and Brother Dan and James Denny. We got a crowd tonight. Sister Gwen Cottle's with us tonight. Carolyn Foster's with us tonight. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Ken Brumbaugh's with us.
Hi, Ken.
And James Denny Jr. That was
and
the other
James
one.
Denny
Josh Martin is with us tonight.
And Josh.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome.
Here we go. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed and registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. There's an identifying factor of the birth of Jesus. Quirinius was reigning in Syria, and there was a census taken. Now, that's going to get it pretty pinpointed.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3. So all went to register everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with his wife, with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her delivery. Verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Thank you, Father. I see it. Now watch this. Isn't it something that our God used a wicked leader to get Mary and Joseph to a city that they didn't live in.
Yeah.
They had to go there. And didn't we learn last year that it was about a 90-mile difference where they had to go? I believe that's what it was.
Yeah.
I think that's what we learned. And riding on a donkey, maybe walking. But, and ready to have a baby. And that night, Joseph is saying to Mary, everything's full. There's no place to stay. They must not have had relatives in that community. Or the relatives' houses were all full. Watch this. All of that happened while Mary was 24 hours, well, let's do it like this, 5 days from delivery. I think it was 90 miles, so that took them probably 10 miles a day. That probably took them 10 days. So she was 10 days from delivering, and then 9 days from delivering, and then 8 days from delivering, and then 7 days from delivering, and then 6 days from delivering. Can you imagine where Mary was at by the day she delivered Jesus, having walked from that one city to the next because the government said they had to be registered and taxed? See, all of a sudden, you and I get a little better picture of, wait a minute, just what did Mary and Joseph have to do to get from Nazareth, where Joseph had his business, to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. The prophecy said he'll be born in Bethlehem. When a prophecy is given, it declares what will be the case in our life. It declares what will be the case in our life. Now, I can see you guys are asking more questions about forget and forgive and what's the other word they just used?
Forgiving or forgetting when you, how do you forget being a victim?
Being a victim, right, right. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. And it's in this story. All right? And you and I are going to move up another step in God tonight by the power of his Holy Spirit. Say this with me. Say, Jesus,
Jesus,
speak to me tonight.
Speak to me tonight.
From this story.
From this story.
So that my life will be free. Of every trauma,
of every trauma,
every unforgiveness,
every unforgiveness,
every situation that's happened in my life, and your birth,
giving
me that freedom, in Jesus' mighty name. Wow. All of that from this Christmas story. Now watch. I got to get this read for tonight, and we'll come back and we'll answer these questions. Ready? We got to get to the good tidings, the glad tidings of great joy. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the streets, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Say this with me.
I receive
good tidings of great joy.
Because
I'm a people. Jesus the Savior is born. And that is good tidings of great joy. But see, it's not just being saved from your sin, people. That's not just you're forgiven. You get the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, when you get the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that cleanses and purges everything that's happened in your life, makes you a new creation. The old things have passed away, and you have become a new created being that never was before. Now, that's a pretty powerful statement. How God can forgive a death row murderer and totally transforming So he has no fear when they inject him and he dies. No fear. Why? Because Jesus comes and makes you a new creation. Say it.
Amen.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
When you study that verse, that means it's a being that never existed before. So you ain't even what you used to be, in any sense of the word. You ready? I am going to make it to verse 20. Are you ready? Watch. I better take a long drink. 1 a.m., a new creation.
You bet. I'm sure Siri did that.
I am new. Amen, Princess.
Amen, Princess. You got it right.
I'm getting there right now. You ready?
Rebecca, I'm ready. Let's get on the ball.
Yep. What's interesting is I can feel you guys are drawn on the presence of God, and there's 14 different ways I can go all at the same time right now. And there's not even 14 people on here. This is something. But I'm making it all the way to verse 20. Here we go. Verse 10. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The angel is talking to the shepherds. Makes you wonder what the sheep were thinking. Because Jesus is the sacrificial lamb.
Did they freak out when they saw the angels?
Well, remember this about God. I'm supposed to be reading and not preaching.
So get on the ball. Rebecca's waiting.
Verse 12. Never had so much trouble reading one set of verses in all my time as being a preacher. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass." Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. These shepherds weren't highly trained Jewish scholars, right? They're shepherds. Now, they know the ways of life, the ways of earth, the ways of weather. Verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told then concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. The angel bore them in verse 9, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, shone. You don't know what shone is? That is shone in the King James. And they were greatly afraid. But the angel said, do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now, let's get to this question that's in front of us. The difference between forget and forgive and forgive and forget, and what do you do if you're a victim? Now, there is very, very severe things that have happened to many people. And I want us to get very focused on this, because I got some good word we got to get to tonight. And we're going to give you a couple verses on this and really, really hit this and keep moving in this. Now watch this. Jesus said to you and I in Mark chapter 11 and in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught us, if we do not forgive our brethren, then we will not be forgiven. Now, Jesus taught us that if your brother sins against you and seven times in a day returns and says, forgive me, then you must forgive. Now, the question always comes down to, do I have to forget and forgive? And really what it means is, do I have to forget and forgive and allow that person to keep doing the evil to me? Well, the answer to that is no, 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 and most definitely no. Now, if your deep offense is that your husband doesn't make coffee right and leaves his towel out on the shelf in the bathroom, those are not deep offenses, even if he's done the same thing for 30 years. You got a habit problem. You got to get fixed. You have a relationship problem because you're not communicating with each other, right?
Right.
So that's not being a victim. And that's not someone doing, it might be somebody not cleaning themselves up or not taking care of themselves and all that kind of stuff, or the house, whatever. And there's a lot of people that will tell you today, well, you're just a victim. Well, now you got to use that word very, very carefully.
Right.
All right. I would consider the Apostle John a victim of severe treatment because they boiled him in oil. John, the Revelator, was boiled with oil, in oil, before he was banished to the Isle of Patmos, where he wrote the whole book of Revelation. But what you have to see is, in the middle of this, let's just go to Revelation chapter 1. Because there's a problem in psychology. Because psychology is the study of the mind. It's not the study of the born-again spirit. It's not the study of a new creation. Psychology is the study of the mind. Psychology will tell you that there's some things you'll never get past and you'll never get over. That's not the case. John the Baptist, or John the Revelator, was literally boiled in oil. You know how hot you have to get oil to get it to boil? Hotter than water. And water boils at 212 degrees. But look at what it says about John. Or not, Revelation 1:10. Well, no, let's do 9 and 10, John. Revelation 1, 9 and 10. Watch this. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Did you notice anything there against his accusers? He mentions tribulation. Mm-hmm. Was on the island that is called Patmos. He doesn't tell you that's the island where all the prisoners, the most violent prisoners, were banished. Because they couldn't swim back to the mainland.
Alcatraz. Yeah.
But he was put there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. 572 degrees Fahrenheit is the average temperature to boil oil.
Wow.
Many people believe that John would have been about 90 years old at this point. And you read this whole book, and he doesn't tell anything about his accusers and those that did him wrong. Apostle Paul tells us he was beaten with rods and had 150 stripes on his back. Literal, physical stripes on his back from being beaten. Then he was stoned. He was stoned by his brothers and by brothers of Christ and left for dead. And then Paul said, none of these things move me. Philippians chapter 3. Verse number 12 through 16. Not that I already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Everybody just keep going, because I can't give you a Sam Cottle answer from Sam Cottle. And I'm not going to give you an answer from psychology. I'm going to give you an answer from God's holy word. Because when it's all said and done, the only thing that makes any of us stand is this holy word right here. Keep reading. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, as many of us are mature, have the same mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Now what? I want you to see where I'm going. Because there are horrible atrocities that have happened to people.
Oh, my goodness.
Horrible atrocities that have happened to people. And you might be one of them. I've had some horrible things happen to me. One of the most dangerous places anybody can ever grow up is in the pastor's house. Because everybody wants to tell you how to live, how to act, what to do. And they want you to love their kids to Jesus. And that's pretty serious. That's pretty serious.
Oh, people are brutal to pastors.
And people are brutal. Now, so my first statement is this. And what I say tonight has nothing to do with what you have been through. Everybody's situation is real to themselves. Everybody pay attention. Everybody pay very close attention. Everybody's situation is real to you. Mm-hmm. When these angels showed up on the hillside, they didn't say, we bring you glad tidings of great joy, unless this, 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 and this happened to you. They said, we bring you glad tidings of great joy. Well, when it comes to forgiving and forgetting, you must forgive. That is the law of Christ. He forgave. When he was railed on, he said nothing in return. He forgave. And then Jesus shows us over and over. If they sin against you, how many times in one day did he tell Peter? 70 times 7. But that's not someone doing a violent situation to you. To think that God would require you to go be with that person so that that adult human being could do the same thing to you again. Well, Jesus would never say that to you. But must you forgive? Yes, you must forgive. It's like Francetta said. Paul was with the Holy Spirit then, wasn't he? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. What was the last thing Jesus said on the cross? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why? Because he knew he was going to go to hell and take all of that sin and curse and go to hell. And he could not be in hell with unforgiveness in his heart and come back out. So forgiving, forgetting, fellowshipping with that person are three different things, right?
Right.
We've been here before, and it's all right to be here again as many times as we have to. So say it with me.
I must forgive.
Because I have been forgiven. I don't have that verse right in front of me, but somebody looked that up. To whom much has been forgiven, one must forgive. He who has been forgiven much must forgive much. Something to that effect. Yeah, amen. Amen. That's a powerful statement, Francetta. Now, the other side of that question, that the statement that Francetta just said about non-believer, the other side of it is, how much of a believer is someone who is actually claiming to be a believer and then doing you wrong? Now, every bit of this now comes back to should be a good time for the glory cloud to show up, wouldn't it? I got the God bumps all over me, man. That's amazing. So let's get back to our statement. We got three things on the table right now that we're talking about. Number one, forgive. If you don't forgive, the Father in heaven cannot forgive you. So that means it's possible even to forgive the most wicked offender against you, because God said, forgive him. Oh, that's not the verse, but that's a good one. That's a really good one. That's another one about forgiveness. All right, three things on the table. Wow. Just not going to get it done, am I, Jesus? Woo! It's all right. Here we are. Ready? So there's three things. Number one, there's the forgiving. Number two, there's the forgetting. And number three, there's the fellowshipping with that person. Three things. There is no human possibility. Well, that's not true. It would take a very highly trained human that is in total control of their soul and their body to forget a major offense, sin, wrong, violent act against them. And they may never be able to do that their whole life. When you're talking about soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion, and your body. There are many people who've had severe things done to them and done against them, and they have been able to walk out of it, and by a choice of their own will, have totally been completely delivered from that thing and never thought about it again. Literally, the more you and I study spirit, soul, and body, we will be able to do that. We will tell our mind, I will never think on that thought again. Do not bring it back to me again. Well, Pastor, how can you do that when something severe has happened to you? Because you are the spirit, you have a soul, and you live in this body. And your soul and your body are your servants. Now, I got to stay on my three points. Number one, forgiveness is something you must do. Let's just go to Matthew chapter 6. All right. Matthew chapter 6. Here we go. Jesus. Matthew chapter 6 is the Lord's Prayer, verses 9 through 13. But don't miss verses 14 and 15. So when you add your verses now tonight, write Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Matthew 6, 5 through 15. Yes. And I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Wow. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You're right, I don't know.
The one I was just looking at, Suzanne, is it 48 or 1? Let's see, 48. For everyone to whom much is given, much will be required.
Well, that's a pretty good verse. And what you guys might find is I've probably mixed two verses together. All right. So let's just read it. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask more. That's not quite the verse on forgiveness. But if you guys have had this much trouble finding it, I might be quoting the verse wrong. And I might be putting two thoughts together. And we'll dig that up and come back with it at another point. But both of those are very good verses. Because the verse of the woman who had sinned many sins, Jesus said, to whom much has been forgiven, she's going to love much. Now watch. We got to get back to this. Number one is we must forgive. We just saw Jesus in the Lord's Prayer say, if you do not forgive, your heavenly Father won't be able to forgive you. Remember, Everything in your life in God is based on what you show God you want others to do to you. We got to find the verse that says, whatsoever you want man to do to you, do also to them. Now, here's why I'm making this statement, and I'm being very specific about it. Our Father is watching how much forgiveness you give so that he knows how much forgiveness to give you. Because he always judges us by the measure that we give. So if you give great blessing, you receive great blessing. That's Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. We'll write that in as a reference. Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. Now watch. So God's whole system is set up this way. If you want to be forgiven, then forgive. If you want to be blessed, then bless. If you want to be loved, then love. If you want to be received, then receive. God's whole kingdom is set up on with the same measure you use. That's how much the Father, which is in heaven, will use. Am I going too fast? If you want to be forgiven, you got to forgive. How much forgiveness you want is how much forgiveness you offer. Pastor, do you know how hard it is to forgive some people? Can you imagine how hard it was for Jesus to forgive people that had just beaten him with a whip and mutilated his whole body?
And lost
his thorns. Spit
on
him. Beat him with a rod on top of that crown of thorns.
I think that very much has to be in spirit and realize the ashes of this earth are nothing compared to theirs.
Watch this. What did your sins do to Jesus? Say it with me. What did my sin do to Jesus? Because on the other side, we're not going to ever be judged by what somebody did to us. We're going to be judged by how much we did with our life. Now, let me go back here and read a couple comments because I'm kind of behind where you guys are at. I've been trying to stay focused on my verses. Because Jesus said forgive, so therefore we have to forgive. Now what we have is how much is the forgetting going to cost us, and do I ever have anything to do with that person again? Roger used the word narcissist, who keeps on doing the same things with many relatives. It just won't seem to stop. Well, let's be careful how much we use the word narcissist on someone who may have just been severely bruised and beaten in their own life. This is a principle of psychology of the soulish realm of your life. Hurt people hurt people. Does it give a hurt person the right to hurt people?
No,
it does not give a hurt person the right to hurt people. But this is what you find. Depending on how severe the hurt has been in somebody's life and how much access they have to people of wisdom and knowledge and understanding that will help them. Some of those people are never set free from that hurt. And they will be mean and miserable to live with and even violent against you. If you live with one of those kind of people, then if you have lived, the Bible is very specific. You do not have to live in that situation. Let's say your wife, you're being beaten by a mean and angry and horrible man. Do you have to stay in that relationship? No. 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 And no. Watch. Everybody stay focused here. Woo! Because where this subject usually goes is to all of us going back into our life and what wrong has been done to us. Okay? Listen, I'm on this end of the tunnel saying, don't go. Come back, come back, come back. Let's talk about this. But today, let's talk about it from our spirit.
Yeah.
That is in control of our soul and our body. Now, if Jesus will forgive you from sin, which is the worst thing you did to him, and totally set you free from it, then he's got to be able to set you free from the trauma of it that somebody did to you. Did that make sense? Mm-hmm. You see, if all he did is just save us, then he's not being the delivering God he promised us he would be. Go with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. You guys are making comments, Beth. Roger, we will be 4 hours tonight. This is Jesus standing up in the synagogue and talking about what he came to this earth to do. Now, everybody turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and let's type in our I love the word right now. And every one of us get focused on this word of God, because this word has the ability to set us free. Yeah. I have read your statement about your father, Francetta. That's how far back I am in comments. And yes, that's a severe, severe offense when it's your own father. But like you said, you learned real quick. I have a father. He's the greatest father there is. There's no owner's manual.
Statement, Roger.
Almost there. There we go. I made it to the bottom of the I love the words. I'm caught up with all your comments. And watch. 42 more comes. But wait. I want you to know something. I'm not in opposition to the comments. And this is a very serious subject that we have to continually deal with. And I'm not afraid to deal with it, but I know by God that we got to focus on the three parts of this. Because forgiveness is one thing. Forgetting is the second. And then fellowship with. That's a third, whole different
whole
subject.
Different, yeah.
Look at verse 18. Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus. Because he has anointed me. This is Jesus anointing. Number one, preach the gospel to the poor. Number two, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, that's what happens when somebody offends you, hurts you, molests you, whatever the word is you want to use, and they break your heart. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. If he heals the brokenhearted, will it be broken anymore? No. If he heals your broken arm, your arm's no more broken. If he heals your broken eye, your eye's no more broken. So he came to heal the brokenhearted. Look at the next one. To proclaim liberty to the captives. You know what that means? If you were raised by an abusive dad or mom or aunt, uncle, grandpa, grandma, whoever it is, you don't have to be the same abusive person. And he came to proclaim liberty to you so you will never be captive to that process in your life. And what that person did to you, you will be free from that. Four, recover of sight to the blind. That's not only in your eyeballs, that's in your spirit, man. Right? Where is liberty to the captives at? Well, in Jesus' day, that was some people who were slaves physically. But mostly that's the captivity that's going on inside of your life. Number five, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. What is an oppression? Well, that's all kinds of things. That's physical, that's spiritual, that's financial, that's demonic. You know, there's all kinds of oppressions in this world. But Jesus came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And then number six, to proclaim liberty, or to proclaim that this is the acceptable year of the Lord, which means today is the day of your salvation. Now, watch this. Jesus commands us to forgive. The Father says, I want you to show me how much forgiveness you want by how much forgiveness you give. For goodness sakes, forgive the people that are already in the grave and already on to their eternal reward and no longer anywhere near you doing you any form of harm ever again. Forgive them. An offense that happened to you 20 years ago, my goodness sakes, forgive it and demand of your mind and your body to release that thing by the power of God. But guys, I'm not acting like that's not a battle, because that is a severe battle. Severe battle. I have awakened in cold sweats. Is that how you say it? Yeah. I have awakened in cold sweats my whole life. It's usually associated with some form of fear. A few times I've seen some things about it, but most times I don't remember. Okay? I rebuke it every time. I command it to go, but it is something inside my soulish realm that is filled with fear, all right? I've always thought I was kind of weird and, you know, there must be something wrong with me. The other night we were listening to a great teacher of our day, and he said, of his life, he woke up with the same dream and filled with fear, having sweat the bed. And then he woke up one night having dreamed about one of the men in his ministry being in the same dream with him at the same time. And the man in the ministry that's with him now looked at him in the dream and said, and don't ever be bound by that again. And he woke up free and never had another one of those.
Hallelujah.
Well, as soon as he said that, I'm like, well, glory, hallelujah, I'm not the only one that ever faced this situation. Are you ready? I want you to say it with me. I want you to say this with me. No matter what fear, just say it. No matter what fear. No matter what loneliness, you say it. I caught Sister Leanne when she walked out of the room. Say it. Get serious with it. No matter what trauma, no matter what loneliness, no matter what hatred or anger that I have ever experienced, I forgive it. And as a newborn believer that is one with my Father, I command you, you will never have another day of authority in my life again. Never another day. Never another day. You might say, well, Pastor, how in the world can you be so confident in that? Because of what Jesus said. Because of what he said he's come to do. So number one is forgiveness. Number two, then, is the task of forgetting. All right? So now we've talked about forgetting a little, but let's go to number three, which is how much I got a fellowship with this person. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're tearing this apart like it needs to be torn apart. Can I get an amen from
amen,
anybody?
Amen, Francetta. Amen to you.
Now watch. Anyone who has done anything of violence to you, intelligent adult, there's all kinds of things that happen to us when we're kids, that kids doing to kids and beating up kids. I mean, I was horrendously beaten up a couple times as a child and had no way to defend myself. There were bigger kids than me. And then one day, and I was in seventh grade at Sir Line Elementary in West Branch, Michigan. And there was a group of about five guys that were continually grabbing me and giving me swirlies and all kinds of stuff. Just it was wrong. It was bad. And a man named Jim Brindley, I always say his name. And I'm not sure which one of the Jim Brindleys he was, but because there was a couple of them. Mm-hmm. He was in a higher class. But this was in the elementary school, so he was only eighth grade. But he was a lot bigger than I was. Came up to me one day in school and he said, "Are those guys still bothering you?" I said, "Yeah, they are. I just want to let you know it'll never happen again." Now it just got me right now. And that's been 45 years ago, whatever it is. I don't know what he did, but never happened again. But it was severe. Because I didn't start growing and developing, becoming strong and building muscle and all that. My body didn't even start growing until I was a freshman in high school. So I had people doing all kinds of almost, you know, just how it was. And it's not that my mom and dad wouldn't defend me, but they weren't with me at school, you know. And did any of you ever have those playground aides that were totally oblivious to what was happening on the playground?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
They were the first ones who had their nose in a phone and didn't have any idea what was going on around them.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of those. And as long as nobody died out there, they really pretty much didn't care. And there were some horrible fights and things that went on.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that the playground was a vicious place there.
And so, one of the guys in particular that treated me that way, as an adult man, I began to have this guy come across my path several times. Well, I'm no longer a little guy. And I ain't afraid of nobody. And I ain't putting up with you beating me down another day. And there was a little bit of revenge on the inside of me for that man. And then one day God dealt with me on it. And he said, that's not your revenge to take. If you take that revenge, then I have to stand silent and you'll have to take whatever comes. Well, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and he does a whole lot more than I ever do. And why do I want to take revenge on somebody anyways? I'm glad those days are over. I'm, you know, on this end of it, when I'm 40 and I look at what that man, now that I know the story of what he was facing, it's no wonder he, as a kid, he acted that way. It was horrible. It was horrible. Did it give him the right to do it? No. Does it ever give anybody the right to do anything wrong to you? No, never, never. But the farther you get in life, the more you understand, you and I, people that are bound, and you have to think about it. Wait, they're 50 years old. They've been bound like this for how many years? It's probably why they're treating you in this manner. Nobody ever reached them with the gospel that they could be delivered and set free. Many people were reached with church, but they were never reached with Jesus, who can absolutely set them free. The man who was known as Son of Sam, the killer Son of Sam, was a vicious man. And yet Dr. James Dobson won him to the Lord and saw him have a miraculous conversion before he was actually executed for the murders that he committed. And Dr. James Dobson was the last man to ever sit with him before he went in to the chambers where his life was taken from him. And he had amazing testimony of who God was and how to help people be set free. Do you ever have to fellowship with that person again? No. What you and I have got to learn to do is to keep people at the right distance from us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, in a Bible verse, right, see, there it is, Francetta. That's very true. Many of them were reached by church. But when they got to the church, they found bound people that had never been set free from stuff. So they never got free. And now they're religious, acting as though they're religious and still doing the same violent things. Because somebody in the church says, brother, sister, stop it. That is violence in what you're doing to somebody. I want to go. Just a minute. Let me find a verse. Second Timothy chapter 4. What do I mean by the right distance? And then it goes to what you said about casting your pearls among the swines, right? All right. What do I mean by the right distance, Roger? When somebody continually does you wrong, and it's not just a person sucking their thumb saying, you hurt my feelings and I feel really bad. No, get over it. Most of all, if it's just someone hurting your feelings, help them learn to quit hurting your feelings. Mm-hmm. Get real serious with them and just say, brother, listen, let's you and me sit down and have a talk. Why do you keep doing that to me? They might say, well, look at what you're doing to me. Oh, okay, well, how about we do this? How about you and I just sit here and have a peaceful conversation And we learn how to treat each other right from this point on. From that conversation, if they don't want to do that, then you have to set an arm's length, a distance between you and them, because otherwise they're going to keep doing it to you. I like how Dr. Barclay says it. He says, if you have a friend, like Jesus is talking about, who offends you 7 times in one day and comes back to you and says, please forgive me, you probably ought to find a new friend. Because by the 3rd time that person has done you wrong, what do you have to do? You have to look him in the eye and say, now listen, I love you. You have been my friend, but you cannot keep treating me this way.
Amen.
And then you start, you don't answer the text, you don't answer the phone, or you just answer a text and never answer the phone again.
And don't go to lunch with them.
And don't go to lunch with them. If you keep going and being with these people who treat you so wrong, you can't look at God and say, what's your problem? You are the one that went back and was with them. Because here's a really deep, deep biblical statement that everyone should write down. Change isn't change until it's change.
Amen.
Anybody want to write it down? Change isn't change until it's changed.
Jesus had to distance himself from the teachers of the law after he was the Son of God.
Yeah. Wait.
And welcome. Glad you're here.
Welcome, Mom. Glad you're here. And remember this. And when Jesus went back with the teachers of the law, he took a whip with him. So some of those people who continually do you wrong, next time you get near them, just have your 3 pieces of leather and just stand there. Look them in the eye. What are you doing? I'm braiding a whip just in case I need to use it on you right now. But there was another time in the ministry where Jesus, when the disciples came to him and said something, and he said, all right, well, let's go to Galilee. He left that place.
Yeah,
he got away from them. Not because he was running in fear. All right? The Apostle Paul, over and over, had to leave a city. Why? Because they stirred up the whole city against him. Right? Now watch this statement. Yeah. And Mom said, only stay if you're completely led by the Holy Spirit. And question the Holy Spirit every day about what he's telling you. Because the bottom line is, only God knows if that person can change. But God will never want you to be beaten another day of your life. That is not God. I don't care what verse anybody shows me in the Bible. That is not our God when you're in a relationship with somebody in your personal life.
Yeah.
If it's the nation and your nation is a totalitarian nation and you get beat and thrown in prison, I don't know what to tell you about that. Ask God to rain hellfire and brimstone on them and shake the jail just like Paul and Silas.
Yeah.
But when it's someone that you're living with, God doesn't ask you to be beaten by anybody. God doesn't ask you to be abused by anybody. It's not him. If you want to love that person and see him saved, do it from a distance, because you don't have to be beaten. See, this is the 3 parts I'm talking about tonight. Forgiveness, you must do. Forget, as soon as you can get it forgotten, because you, the Spirit, tell your mind to stop thinking about it and your body to stop experiencing it. As soon as you get that done, get it done. But that's a faith process that you'll have to do. But being with them physically, no.
Like you said, you have to be so in tune to the Holy Spirit. Then, like Francetta said, you're just casting your pearls among the swine and being beaten down in the process.
And you can't do that.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 4:14. This is the Apostle Paul. Through 18. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Verse 15. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Do you see what the Apostle Paul is saying? That's pretty serious right in the Bible. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's look at another one. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5 down through 9, having a form of godliness, denying its power, from such people turn away. That's the statement we made a minute ago about they received church, but they didn't receive Jesus delivering them. They got churchianity, they didn't get Jesusanity, because Jesus ain't ever going to do wrong to another person. Verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, now as Janus and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They are men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. It's one of the problems in the church because the pastors haven't looked at men or women and said, you must stop now. We've been in this counseling session now about this violence you have against your family, against your mate, against your spouse, against your children. You must stop now.
Amen.
But in the New Testament, they did. And you don't continue to allow a man like that to be in a church. A woman like that to be in a church, because it's not just men that are abusive. There's many women that are abusive also. And you got to learn to control it. If you're going to have a safe house, you can't allow anybody to come in and violate the safety of that house. If a man is beating you and your children, go now. You are responsible before God of what happens to those children. If a mom is beating a husband and her children and abusing them, get away and say, do you see this separation? This is what you will experience, and you will not like it. And you could hear a pin drop. Here's the thing, guys. This is why we got to separate it. Jesus said, forgive. The sooner you forgive, the better shape you're in. God has chosen to throw your sins into the sea of his forgetfulness, and you and I are made in his image. So that does, we have that ability, but it is a faith act to get it done. And now the question is, how much do I have to be where this person is doing this to me?
You don't.
If you're a Christian and your mate starts getting into witchcraft, no. No. Wait. I understand that I'm going against what many people in the church would say I'm going against. Well, you should just love them, and you should be able to put up with it so you can win them to Jesus. I'm going to tell you about that. I've watched that situation over and 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 over for all my life about winning them to Jesus. No. It most typically doesn't happen. They just keep beating and beating and manipulating and destroying and controlling.
It's keeping people from getting on their right path.
And you have to just say, wait a minute, I love you. But love confronts. I'm not going that path anymore. I'm not going that path with you another day. Done. Why? I just, hold on, I was just getting a... just get my comments where they got to be. Are you seeing all the comments, Lo?
I don't think I am seeing all of them. I'm seeing some on my computer and some on the phone, so I don't think I'm getting all of them. For instead of, you're right, Sam, love is not enough sometimes.
I just had a comment. I just had a comment pop up that I haven't seen. And I need to go find where it is. Everybody hang on just a second. Because there was a hidden comment on it. Do you see it?
Well, I see a response to something Francetta, you must have said, but I don't see the comment at all. I just see somebody's response to it. And I don't see it on the computer or phone.
Isn't that just something? I apologize, guys, that I got to be like this, but there's a comment. There you go.
You see it now?
Yeah, well, I just went in and I got it. Yeah, all right, I got it. All right. Maybe we are just taking... in all you are saying. It is. Let's say it. Let's take it a little higher, Roger. Maybe we're all just taking in what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. Remember, in this session tonight, yeah, I don't know, Francetta. It not only hid your comment, but I can't even see what your comment is to unhide it or even to see what it is.
Yeah, and I don't either.
So that's really weird. Who knows?
Yeah, the flag just means that you're a regular here, grandfather.
Anyways, let's just, I want to get us back on point. I apologize for the silence. I apologize for the stare. But I don't apologize that I'm keeping good track of what's going on here in our community of faith, because this is a really good message tonight that's really going to help us to really keep moving. Remember, God, let's just read it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the verse that many people take out of context. Oh, let's see. It is not 6. Where is this at? Chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. And we may read all the way down to verse 16. All right? But I think everybody here tonight is studying deeply with us, and you're all receiving. So we're going to just hit this and go. But I'm just going to read now. I'm just going to read. Everybody pause. What's it? I missed it. All right. That one. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 through 16. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Uh-oh. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife. And now he can touch her. And let each woman have her own husband. Amen. Circle the wagons. Here we go. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. You can't imagine how many men have used that verse to beat their wives. And the next man that uses it, I'm going to take a stick and beat him. And now I'm going to say, here, lady, beat him right now, right here in front of me. I'm the pastor. It's now legal. Pastor, why are you saying that? Because that is literally the case in some places.
Yeah.
And it's infuriating. That verse did not mean anyone is supposed to abuse their spouse or their mate's body. No, 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 no. Verse 5. Do not deprive one another, except with a consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Unless you have a frying pan. I'll add that right here in the next verse, number 4. And I'll put Sunday Geyser by it. Verse 6, but I say this as contention, not as commandment. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God. One is in this manner and the other is in that. Verse 8, I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it's good for them even if they remain even as I am. Hello. But don't miss the buts of the Bible.
Yeah.
Because they're important. If they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. That's actually a verse in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to marry. Most people say it's better to marry than burn, but don't miss the with passion part. Verse 10. To the Mary I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Oh, it's horrible. And have you ever heard of the rule of thumbs, Francetta? In some nations, a man can beat his wife as long as the stick isn't bigger than his thumb. He can beat her with a stick. It's in Romania. It's in Africa, all over in Africa.
All over Africa, yeah.
In many underdeveloped nations, that's just wrong. Brother Terry Mize says he has to go through Romania and teach it again about once every 3 years because you get enough new believers in that you got to say, wait, you can't beat your wife with a stick. Verse 11, even if she does not, wait, a wife is not to depart from her husband. He's saying this as a command. The wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried. So that means there's going to be women who depart. Why? She is being beaten. And the kids are being beaten. You know what's worse than a woman being beat? Is for her kids to see their mother being beat. Verse 11, even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. All right? But that says, if she is willing to live with him. Is she going to beat him with a frying pan and pour coals of hot coals of fire on him like the book of Proverbs says? He's probably not going to stay. 13.
Hallelujah.
A woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. But the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. You can't take this verse out of the Bible. Don't try it. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. If the unbeliever departs, let them depart. Do you see what it says? Let them depart. It's a shame it has to come to that, but sometimes that is the situation. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us all to peace. But God has called us to peace. But God has called us to peace. God has called us to peace. God has called us to peace.
Amen. Amen, 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 amen.
And see, if you can't be at peace, then you got to make a change. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, oh, husband, whether or not you save your wife? I knew a person whose wife hit him with an iron skillet, knocked him downstairs, and he was never right again. See, I don't know which side of that to take.
I know. You feel bad for him, but you think, well, did he deserve it?
But here's the thing. God, I want you to look at that verse again. Verse 15, the last line. God has called us to peace. Do you know what is going to happen if you are continually abused and the other person refuses to change? Somebody's fixing to get physical. And when a messed up marriage gets to the point where somebody's trying to be physical, you done stayed too long, and it's time to be moving on. Pastor, I can't believe you're saying these words. Well, I'm not saying you fried my eggs wrong, so I'm leaving. Am I saying that? But in abusive situations, you cannot. You have to put a distance. You do not have to get was he obedient after the frying pan? That was my mother that made the statement.
Asking for a friend. Oh my goodness.
I'm asking for a friend. Did work. No. Now, why are you here, Pastor? Well, because you guys are here. This is Christmas. You may still have some, you may still have some parties you're getting ready to go to, some events, some family gatherings where you're going to have to be with somebody that you might not necessarily want to be with. Now you must make a decision. How much time do I spend there? And do I let that person get me off in a side room and start hammering on me again? The answer is no, you don't have to be there. No, don't ever let them get you aside in a corner again. Stand up for yourself and say, I apologize. I can't talk to you any longer. Stay back. Well, you're my brother. You're my sister. Stay back. Don't wait for them to be the mature one. If they have an example of continually hurting and abusing you, you be the mature one, put your coat on and leave. Well, I want to see everybody else. Well, stay and be abused. It doesn't make sense to stay and be abused. It does not make sense. But Pastor,
strife and division.
What if one more experience would save them? Have you had 97 that didn't save them? Francetta just put it there. You're casting your pearls before the swine. And what did Jesus say? They will turn and rend you and trample your pearls in the mud. Why? Because they're just swine. Now, if any of the people in my life who don't like me have listened to this tape, I'm not against any of you. Let's get real serious here. I love people. But I'm never am I going to, I never will God require me to sit and be abused, ever. And he never will you either. And if you believe he will, then you're believing a wrong doctrine according to the word of God, because he came to set the captive free, not keep you bound. And there is no verse in the Bible anybody can stand on that is biblically sound for a mother to continually be beaten in front of her children by a man. There are no verses for that in the Bible. And there's no verses in the Bible for a man to stay and be beaten by a woman in front of his children. None. See, here's what happens. This is what happens. You and I are natural humans. Everybody look up here for a minute. Let's pause our comments. Look up at me for a minute. As spiritual as you may think you are, if you allow yourself to continually be abused, there will be a day when you will stand and you will fight in a way you never thought you would fight. And all those inner thoughts inside of you of, if they ever do this again, I'm going to, may all come out in one situation, and that will not be good. Do not let this stuff get to this point. Look at people and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. We got to talk. Sit down at the table of reason and let's talk. Stop. Why? Because there ain't no place. Well, let's ask a question. Let's ask a very simple question. Which is the worst sin? Hatred? Strife? Division? Anger? Violence? Murder? They're all just sin. However, strife brings every other evil work. It's the book of James. So the next thing with strife is outburst of anger and wrath. And if you let it go, when that sin takes seed, it will produce and somebody will die. And that's not God. He came to set the captive free. This old doctrine of the church that says, well, just put up it for the prayer. It may, one more month. No, there's already been 10 years of months. Stop it already with your one more month. No, ma'am, sir, you must change now. Well, I don't know how. Then see me, the pastor, and I will help you change. Victims no more. And the worst part is we've said it about 10 times tonight, but we'll say it again. It's growing up in a situation where you can't change it. You're a kid yet. I have a very close friend who watched his mom be beat all of her life. And he turned 14 and he said, don't come back and don't do it again. And the dad knew if he came back and did it again, he wasn't going to live. I know the story of a great, 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 great man of God preaching machine today who shot his own father at 14 years old because his dad came back again to beat his mom. And he said, you will not do it again and don't come back in this house and come at me. And dad came at him and he shot him. Before he died, he led his own dad to Jesus laying there in the grass when he shot his own dad. Now, that young man was 14 and knew Jesus. So somebody in that house knew Jesus. They did not have to have that situation going on.
Or just he did.
There's no reason for that to have gone on, except somebody let it go too far. No more.
And the one we know that watched his dad beat his mom to death when he was 3 years old.
Yeah.
He would have grabbed those children and gotten out of there.
Yep.
And yeah, you just can't mess with it.
All of this from the shepherds abiding in the fields, watching over their flocks at night.
Wow.
Now wait, how can you put this together? Well, I can't, but the Holy Spirit can. Jesus said, the angel said, I come to bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. How many people?
All.
You are included in all. Anyone who's ever told you had to put up with again to be a Christian, that is just not the Bible. That is just not the Bible. Even Jesus said to the gardener, that tree is not producing. Pull it out. The gardener said, give me another year. All right. He came back the next year and said, it's not producing. Take it out of my garden. Because God wants you to confront life and say, wait, we're not doing this anymore. And if you confront immediately right away, then you can keep the confrontation in peace. The longer you let the confrontation go before you confront it, the more difficult it is for you to be able to confront in peace. Because the other side has got their fortification, and you got your, my God, what's going on? And so you got to just live a life of saying, hold it, you don't get to treat me that way.
Set a zero tolerance for abuse. You leave the situation, don't feed drama.
Don't feed the drama.
Amen.
You know, our statement about trauma, where we pray for people to be delivered from trauma, you and I must continually pray in our own personal lives about the trauma that happened to us. You must. Everybody's had something. More likely, I don't know. Maybe there's some people that grew up with no trauma, but I don't. It wasn't me. I know trauma. But I grew up in a church, so that's messed up that we'd say that about the church, but Jesus, Lord have mercy. Anyways, the most important thing you do today is what Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. You need to get these two sets of verses down, or three. You ready? Philippians chapter 3. We went through it, but just, I want them in one comment. I want all three of these verses together in one comment. All right? Help me. Hold on. Where's the verse 7 times 7? Mark 11, Matthew, Mark 11. Mark 11. Mark, nope. There it is. No, wasn't it? 70 times 7. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Yeah, there it is. Well, yeah, it's just Matthew 18. This whole chapter is about forgiveness. I got three audios on this. I'll share with you guys in the morning. This is really good. But the verse, yeah, just put chapter 18. And then I'm going to use verse 22. Jesus said, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven that you must forgive in one day. In one day. And after the third time, he's at an arm's length. And after the fourth time, you're at two arms length. And after the fifth time, you're outside the door. And I'll talk to you through the window. And after the sixth time, I'm sorry, but stand out in the street. Stop doing this. 70 times 7 in one day is impossible to even get done 490 times. 92nd lady, peace to you. So Matthew chapter 18, I want this in one comment. Matthew 18, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Isaiah 43, 25 and 26. Then Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Send. Now, stop talking while I'm preaching, would you please? How are we doing? Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Amen, Roger. Well, did you hit send them? Isn't that something? I just showed you in those comments, yeah, that you are made in the image of God. I went too fast. Sorry about that. Sister Leanne got it. I'll slow down. I'm telling you, when you're preaching and teaching like this and the Holy Spirit's flowing, it's real easy to go as fast as he's giving it to you. Because he's giving it really fast. But we have to learn to slow down. And it's okay if you guys say, hey, slow down. Let's get this a little slower. And I'll slow down because it doesn't do any good to just run your lips. We have to get understanding. It can be free. All right, Philippians 3 says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the things which are before you. Matthew 18 says, we got to forgive. It's a requirement. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, we are made in the image of our Father. Isaiah chapter 43 says, he blots out your transgressions and remembers them against you no more. So you are made in his image. Be like him. Remember them no more. Force them out of your mind. You're in control. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, behold, I do a new thing. Even now it will spring forth. You will know it. You will know it. So let him do a new thing. And here's the deal. Once you've been set free from that and you're no longer in it, don't you talk about it to everybody that you meet. Because now you've sinned against that person. As soon as you talk about somebody else's sin to anybody else, you have sinned the greater sin. Because now you've said their sin to others, and now they have to be responsible for the words you just said in their ears, and you just caused them to have a greater spiritual battle than what they needed to have. None of us have permission to tell anybody else's sin out loud. That is not God. Well, but Pastor, what if they are a blank, 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 whatever? Well, you distancing yourself from them is going to, in its own self, expose it. And if it's a marriage and you get divorced, that's going to expose it. Something was wrong. But you telling their sin is never right. Because you and I are not the exposers of sin.
Amen.
That is a violation against the law of God. Seal your lips. Woo! So how are we doing? Is everybody all right? I got to take another big long drink.
Singing like the shepherds in the field.
Singing like the shepherds in the field. Who said that? Is that what you just said?
I just said it.
Well, Sister Leanne is singing like the shepherds in the field. Woo! Glory to God.
We're all still standing in the field going. Yes, we will know it. Amen.
See, here's the thing, guys. It is possible to forgive, forget, and move on. But you don't want to when it's been somebody that you loved or whatever. But people that don't change, don't change. Ready? Remember our statement? Somebody type it in. Change isn't change until it is changed. That is a really good cup of tea. No.
Yes.
Singing like the shepherds in the field. Matter of fact, let's sing like Toby Mac. Free, free, I'm free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free, free, I'm free at last. Thank God Almighty. What are you free from, Pastor? Condemnation, confusion, bondage. Don't be bound by that stuff. So did this help anyone? She asked the million-dollar question. If you answer it, you have to send $1 million.
Hallelujah.
Smith Wigglesworth is one of the greatest men of the 1900s. He was a drunk plumber at 50. His wife said, "You're going to preach the gospel, Smith." "No." "You're going to preach the gospel, Smith." "No, I'm not." "You're going to preach the gospel, Smith." And then he started to beat her. And she said, "If you ever lay hands on me again, I won't let you back in the house." This was in the, you know, early 1900s. He got drunk and she locked the door and said, "You're going to sit out on that porch till you come to your senses, boy. You are going to preach the gospel." And Smith Wigglesworth came to his senses and was one of the most amazing miracle workers that the 1900s ever knew all over the whole world. Had some of the most astounding miracle signs and wonders happen in his ministry. And at 50 years old, he was a drunk plumber. And yet God transformed his life when his wife stood up and said, "No more, Smith, no more." Somewhere Jesus said, "Who is my brother, my sister, my father, my mother?" Yeah. He said that when his brothers and sisters told him, showed up and said, "Jesus, you are gone out of your mind. Come with us." He said, they came inside and said, "Jesus, your mom's here and your brothers." He said, "These are my brothers and sisters who do the will of God with me." Never give up praying for those that you have loved. Never. Never stop praying for people to get their life right with God. Ever. Why? They're going to have an eternity that's either going to be with God or without Him. Can you imagine how horrible hell is for Cain? He's been in torment now for 7,000 years. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Even the people that we pray about at the noon prayer that are reprobate, I don't want them to go to hell, but if they don't fall on their face and beg God for forgiveness, some of them are going to the very depths of hell because of what they've done to small children and widows and the helpless, and they take advantage of them. God calls that person an abomination. Romans chapter 1 calls them reprobate. And usually that means they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Do not do that. Do not do that. Get away. Stand up for yourself. Get connected to a body of believers like this one. And then stay connected no matter what. Don't let anything take you away. You stay connected. And Jesus will set you free like he set all of us free. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Anything else we should say, love?
I think everybody's got enough to rest on tonight. Just to meditate on tonight.
It is. It is. But I'm going to tell you, Francis Adam, I have a very close family. I am blessed. My mom and dad raised us to be very loving and forgiving of one another, and we have a very close family. And Mom, if you're still with us, I thank you for that. But there are some people, and they don't have anything to do with their family again. Their families have completely disowned them. and want nothing else to do with them. We met that missionary over in Montana that was that way. He's literally gone to the very village that his mom and dad live in, and they will not come talk to him, and he's not allowed to go to their house, and he has not seen his family in 40-some years, 50-some years probably.
Yeah, he was, what, 17 when they shunned him?
Yeah, so 40 years. He's not seen his family in 40 years, and they shunned him, and they've never broken the shun. But God has given him family all over the world. Because God does never. If you give up family to serve God, he's going to bring it back to you a hundredfold return, Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. Yeah. What did he say he's going to bring you? Houses, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, lands, and in the age to come, eternal life. Why? Because you are willing to walk with him, even walking away from people who refuse to follow him. There's no other way to say it than what we just did right there. In Jesus' mighty name. Are we ready? Let's close now with our new covenant worship, communion. Because, well, you know what? You are not an outcast, Francetta. You are a wonderful person.
Yes, you are.
You have a beautiful spirit. And regardless of how many of your family who may not want you around, you're not only welcome here, you are a blessing here. Now, let me make sure you get tonight's verses. Man, we went through some verses tonight, didn't we? Make sure you get tonight's verses all copied down. Somewhere, save them close. Yep, we love you too. God is good, isn't he? Isn't God good to give us exactly what we need? Lead us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. Amen, 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 and amen, and amen. 1 Corinthians. I'm just sitting here looking. It's almost like I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to give me one more thing because this is really good. But I believe we have much to chew on tonight. And, yeah, amen. Jesus loves you and so do I. Amen. That's good, Rebecca. That's good.
Yes, it is.
There. Man, everything is stacked in its rightful place. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which we also deliver to you right now tonight. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, You proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28. I love verse 28. Let a man examine himself and let him eat of the bread and then drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. God's perfect love is perfected among us in this. Perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are, as he is. I said as we is, as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in love and there is no fear in the communion service.
Amen.
Verse 28 says, let a man examine himself, because that's what you're going to have to do from this day until you get to the other side, is examine yourself. Quit trying to examine everybody else. The longer I try to examine Sister Leanne, the more perfect she gets.
Thank you, Lord.
Too funny.
That was a really good statement.
Woo! You got to examine yourself. And then we will walk with God. Let's pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication, or the prayer of thank you, Jesus. I am in the family of God. This prayer is the same thing for everybody. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord.
Amen.
If you've never been born again, this prayer right now is the greatest prayer. It's going to sound all over heaven, and they're going to be rejoicing in heaven because you pray this prayer right now. Ready? Father, I know I need Jesus.
Father, I know I need Jesus.
In every area of my life.
In every area of my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
But have everlasting life.
But have everlasting
Jesus,
life.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Put your hands out and just do it. I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
Right now in Jesus' name.
Right now in Jesus' name.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the
pray
word of God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every
I
day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. That's the first time you prayed that prayer? Welcome to the family of God. You are now considered a believer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is who we are, and this is what we look like, and this is how good it is to be a believer. And that one prayer, you went from darkness to light. Because God never does something to you. He takes you from to. You know, you just went from fear to faith. His faith. It's now in you. You went from your sin, which you can't beat. None of us could. Not a single person on this earth. To his righteousness, which is complete and totally sets you free. And Father looked over and said, adopt that one into the family. And you are now heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. You literally have the DNA of God inside of your being right now.
Amen.
Say it. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Every time I say it, man, it just explodes on the inside of me. I am a child of God. And from this day forward, your only thing you got to do is every day say, Father, help me walk with you.
Father, help me walk with you.
Can you pray that morning, noon, and night? Because once you start praying it, then he'll show you some other stuff to do. And it's just one day after another walking with our Father. And that's what this is all about. Welcome to the family of God. They put my email address and website in there. Your whole life has changed. On the website, you've got contact information and the communion service. I recommend you start receiving communion every day. Mark this video where it's at on this video. Go to the YouTube video. We're at 2 minutes and 2 hours and 15 minutes where we started taking communion tonight. You can turn that video on every day and take and receive communion with us every single day. And in so doing, you establish these truths on the inside of you. Because the more you hear it, the more it gets down on the inside of you. My email address is there. Send me an email. Ask me a question. Tell me your story. Give me a testimony. Send us a prayer request. You can even ask me. I've got 10 verses that I believe are the most basic foundation verses of the Bible that every person needs. Every person needs. And I'll send them to you if you just ask me for them. Well, I've never had anybody say they want to rub their knuckles in the middle of my head during communion, but I glory be to God. She loves me. We love you, Rebecca. Run and get you some communion elements, and we'll receive our communion together tonight. You might say, Pastor, you guys do things differently around here. Well, we're just led by the Holy Spirit of God, and we love it. It's a great place to be. Ready? Hold your elements up. Let's enter into this most wonderful time of fellowship with God. Pray this with me. I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion
with you, Lord. They are sanctified.
They are sanctified.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement
upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of
faith. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus, that you were wounded for my transgressions. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force.
The most powerful cleansing force.
On the face of this earth.
On the face of this earth.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Had been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
And I am a new creation.
And I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
All things have passed
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for
by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come bold.
I come bold.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague.
Has to pass over my life.
Has to pass over my life.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be. The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive bloodshed. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's sing our song. Just had to get all the crumbs in the right spot.
Would
you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the
precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
What brings him death that Roger is looking for? Ask me over.
We all come back now. I don't see it, though.
Is it in Matthew? Ask anything in my name and you will receive it.
I don't see that. Good night, Sunday.
Good night,
love you.
Sunday, love you. God bless your sleep.
Scripture says, ask and you will receive. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. And I think it's 7 through 9. Matthew 7. Yep, 7 and 8. For everyone who asks, receives. Him that seeks, they find. Him that knocks, the door will be opened. Amen and amen and hallelujah to you too, Rebecca Smith. Now, you guys will notice, I never get to make very many likes or anything on your post, but except for the last four or five of you that make a comment at the end of the night. And come back tomorrow night and we might be back in the shepherd's world.
That was
the comment was so good we said it twice. Thank God for his wonderful love and mercy and grace. Remember, You guys have been, we have all been very well instructed by the Holy Spirit. I think this is the third time that we've dealt with this. But watch this. There's three things. Number one, you must forgive. Number two, you deal with your spirit, soul, and body as soon as you can so you'll forget. And then number three, you got to put that person that the offense is with at the right place in your life. Don't let them in any closer than what they're willing to produce the fruits of repentance. I think that's how Jesus said it. That was an echo. Yes, it was. God bless the technology. It just keeps right on going. Well, till we see you again tomorrow, right here for noon prayer, tomorrow night. Always remember this. If you have a question, thought, something that's bugging you, make sure you send me a message privately. And let us know. We are here to be a blessing and help you. Thank you for your prayers for us. Please pray for us. We need your prayers every day. And we love you as our family. Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That, you know what? We never gave this verse to me. And that's Joel chapter 2. Every one of you. 27 and 28. You pray it every day. Restore the years for my family. It's a good prayer to pray for family members that have given you trouble. Restore the years. Restore the years. Restore the years. Restore the years. Rebecca, we bid you adieu too.
Love you, Rebecca. God bless you. God bless your sleep.
Our closing verses of the night, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Revelation 22, verse 21.
I'm out of here.
And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ
be with you all.
Amen. And amen.